Good afternoon, everyone. Perhaps you noticed a couple of silver-plated trumpets in the ensemble. Silver-plated, I found out, not actual silver. My son was explaining to me the advantage of it being silver-plated. Not sure I remember it all. Maybe if it's cheaper than solid silver. Something about the resonance or something better, too. As Mr. Light mentioned this morning, in ancient Israel, the blowing of silver trumpets was used as a call for the people to assemble or a signal for to take some actions, such as moving the camp or as an alarm for war. The silver trumpets were also blown on the holy days. But according to Jewish tradition, on the Feast of Trumpets, another type of horn was blown, the shofar, or the ram's horn. Silver trumpets can produce a variety of musical tones and notes. The ram's horn, however, produces mainly a loud, piercing blast, an awakening blast. Not for the purpose of making musical sounds, but to serve as an urgent warning. Now, see, we had Mr. Ridholm on a shofar, and my son Luke's got Mr. Sephoric's old shofar, and thought, give him a try, see if we can get a good, loud, piercing blast. I think Mrs. Sephoric offered me the opportunity to do it up here, but I knew I couldn't make it sound like that. That's actually not a ram's horn, though. We determined it's from some sort of Middle Eastern antelope-type animal. And the real ram's horn, Ed, you want to try again? Did you leave it up here? Okay, I thought you were going to say you do it. But yeah, this is the ram's horn.
You may change your mind.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, on this day of trumpets, we'll use the blast of the shofar as an urgent warning or a reminder of our need to be prepared for Christ's return. With this in mind, we're going to turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, where Jesus talks about the time of his return. And we'll pick out, you might do this differently, but I picked out four urgent warnings to help us prepare. And I'm going to start Matthew 24, verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed, be forewarned, that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Warning number one, beware of deceivers. Beware that you're not deceived. Don't be deceived by those who claim to be the Messiah, for one thing. But also, don't be deceived by those who call themselves followers of Christ. Jesus' warning is true followers to prepare for religious leaders who will either knowingly or unknowingly, deceive others. And he says that some of them will come in his name, acknowledging that he is the Christ. Because there is another way of reading that verse, verse 5 there, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. In my Bible, it's got quotation marks about I am the Christ. But there were not originally quotation marks there, and you could read that as saying that, yeah, people are going to come. They're going to acknowledge that I, Jesus, am the Christ and will still deceive many. So there could be people claiming to be Christians, and we might consider not only the many professing Christians who've been deceived about Christmas, Easter, some of them even observe Halloween, but also the increasing number of those who now condone and even celebrate sexual behavior, gender identity issues that are clearly contrary to biblical teaching. And there's a note to parents, you know, as best you can, make sure your kids are aware of the increasing number of deceptive messages that they're going to be exposed to on the internet, on TV, various media, in the schools, etc. As much as you can, prepare them ahead of time. Notice that deception is a recurring theme in Matthew 24. I can skip ahead to verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Religious charlatans have been around for a long time, and they'll probably continue. But now we've noticed the climate change prophets, some of whom are predicting the end of all life as we know it within 10, 12 years because of global warming. Few of us are probably old enough to remember back in the 1970s when there was a prophesied soon coming ice age that was predicted to cause big problems in the early 1980s. Well, false prophets, I guess. Skip ahead again to verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Of course, that's us. See that I have told you beforehand. So here we're being warned so that we're not deceived by what might appear to be, or perhaps actually is, a supernatural event. Supernatural events, to remember, are not necessarily a sign from God. Verse 26, therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, he's hidden someplace, or he's hiding someplace, do not believe it. Don't be deceived by the manner of Christ's coming. Verse 27, for as the lightning comes from east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Christ's coming is going to be dramatic. It's going to be dramatic and obvious, just as lightning is very dramatic and obvious. We're also warned about those who may claim to know when Christ will return. And we could look ahead to verse 36, Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And skip ahead again to verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. For the second warning, Let's go back to verse 6. Matthew 24, verse 6. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. Now, I've got that down as warning number 2. Don't be troubled. The New Living Translation says, don't panic. There's another translation that says, don't be frightened. Fear not. As Mr. Light said earlier, a lot to kind of give you cause for concern. But we're not to be troubled by all the chaos that's going to take place. We're not to get stressed out by it. And again, that would seem easier said than done. Continuing in verse 6, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 7, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Terrible times will afflict the entire world. And we in God's church, we will experience some difficulties. However, God says, don't be troubled. Jesus tells us, you know, don't panic. We need to be of good courage. While most of the world around us will be freaking out, we can be spared a lot of the mental anguish. We can have that peace of mind that comes from knowing that it's all going to work out for the best in the end. For a third point, let's notice verses 10 through 13, Matthew 24, verse 10. And many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. To summarize verses 10 through 13, we have point number 3. Point number 3, endure in love and compassion. Endure in love and compassion. And those verses also give us, I picked out 3 subpoints. So in outline form, I guess we've got A, B, and C. Subpoint A, mentioned here, don't be easily offended. Don't be easily offended. Point B, do stay loyal and faithful to one another. And point C, our ability to love depends upon keeping God's law. Our ability to love depends upon keeping God's law. Again, verse 12 tells us that the love of many will grow cold because of lawlessness, the failure to keep God's law. If you keep your place in Matthew 24, we'll come back there. You can turn to Hebrews. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Where the writer is again speaking in the context of preparing for Christ's return. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching, the day of Christ's return. Be positive with one another. Exhort one another. Now let's turn a little further back to the book of James. James chapter 5. We'll go to James chapter 5, verse 7. And once again, the context is preparing for Christ's return. James 5, I'm going to go verses 7 through 11. Therefore, be patient. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also, be patient. Establish your hearts. We could say, be patiently good-hearted. Be patiently good-hearted with one another. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now notice verse 9, James 5, verse 9. Do not grumble. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets, who in the name of the Lord, as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Notice that it's better to suffer patiently than to grumble against one another. We'll move on to a fourth warning message and go back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 14. Here we'll be reminded of the commission that has been given to the church. Here are our marching orders. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. If we turn ahead briefly to Matthew chapter 28, see another reminder that Jesus gives to his followers. Again, our marching orders here. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. The church of God has been given the duty of preparing the way for Christ's return by preaching the message of his coming kingdom. Point number four, we've got to continue doing the work. Continue doing the work. The mission statement of the United Church of God is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God in all the world, to make disciples in all nations, and to care for those disciples. Preach the gospel, prepare a people. Go back to Matthew 24 and look again at verse 42. Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch therefore. For you do not know what hour your Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Verse 46, blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. We've been given a job by the master. Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. He's doing the work that's been assigned to him. And we need to be mindful of that theme. We need to be faithful servants, continuing to support the work preaching the gospel as long as we're able. Verse 47, assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to drink or eat and drink with the drunkards, so the master of that servant will come on a day that he's not looking for him, at an hour that he's not aware, and he will cut him in two and point him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There'll be severe consequences for not heeding the warnings. Finally, let's go back in the chapter to verse 30. Matthew 24, verse 30 and 31. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather his elect, his chosen ones, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Brethren, let's remember and heed the warnings in Matthew 24. Don't be deceived. Don't be troubled. Endure in compassion and love, and continue doing the work. In so doing, we can be among those elect, those who are prepared for the final trumpet and the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ.